Missionary Baptist Church is a proud sponsor of 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Freeport, 98.9 FM Monroe. We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Galatians 6 and 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to study your word. We pray that you move and minister by your spirit. Meet us where we are. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We'd be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to share a little word. I know I'm speaking to blessed folk today.
Amen.
Highly favored. Who know what it is to operate according to the principles of God. But Timothy had to hear from Paul a lesson on this thing we call money to help him deal with a balance in life. And so sometime we get in crunches or we get in situations where we might suffer a little slack temporarily, we might have a little lack temporarily. Sometime it causes us to shift our focus. So I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And we're going to use this as our launching scripture and just share a few points with you, because one of the things that we know is that regardless of who's president, what matters most is who's resident in you. Whether or not you'll be successful or not, you go back through the biblical pages of antiquity and you'll see that in some of the worst recessions or famines, God blessed his people, prospered his people, brought his people through because they kept their focus on him, not on the economic times and the issues and the social situations, etc., but on God. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." with many sorrows. For just, you know, this few moments, I just want to talk about, you remember that old song, For the Love of Money?
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to talk about, For the Love of Money. It's a major issue because it affects us both saved and unsaved. And I want us to see it from a Christian perspective and understand what we're dealing with and to learn from the verse. We know, first of all, that there are two things that I want us to look at. One is the clarification of the passion for money. And the second is the corruption from the passion for money. Amen. The clarification of the passion for money and the corruption from the passion for money. One, the clarification. The love of money is the root of all evil. And this verse is not simply saying money is the problem, but it makes clear, it says, the love of money. This word has been misread, misunderstood, misquoted, because they have left out the love. Money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. The love of the inordinate passion, desire for money is that causes one to bring about the evils that are inspired by the enemy to get money. When you covet money, then you do whatever it takes to get money. And what people miss is when you have a love affair with money, it changes your morals. It changes your mindset. It changes your manners. And so people miss how powerful the spirit of love or passion is for money. You go back all the way through history, money has had a major role in the lives of civilizations from the beginning of time until now. And it isn't until you come to the point where you understand it's better to have a temporary lack of money than to have a tragic love for money, where one is temporary and the other has eternal repercussions. You know, every now and then, I don't care how blessed you are, you have a little temporary setback, financially speaking. You have a little cash flow problem. It gets stopped up. It ain't flowing. Sometimes money just act a little funny. Don't stretch and spread as far as you'd like it to. But don't forget, money serves you. You don't serve money. When you love money, you serve money and do whatever it takes to get money. So I want to make this clear and clarify the fact that it is the love of money, it is that passion, it is that affection for money that causes the evil for many of us. Now listen to this. When you begin to understand, this word says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now when it says all evil, it doesn't literally mean every evil. This word is actually translated all kinds of evil. Okay, that's a translation issue there. But it means the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root of every evil. It's just the root of all kinds of evil. When, in other words, where money comes into play, it can be from one arena to the next arena. It can be sacred. It could be unholy. It can be this or that. It doesn't really matter. It's not limited to one area. It's not limited to the unsaved, and it's not limited to the saved. It's not limited to the saint, and it's not limited to the sinner. It has the ability to go wherever it makes an effective difference. And listen, it really only makes that difference when there are those who have a love and a passion for money. So one of the things that you want to know is, hey, you know what? These may be tough times, but I ain't going to fall in love with money. I won't do anything for money. I won't sell my soul, my body, my nothing, my mind, nothing for money. Money's going to come when I line up with the principles of God, when I call on the God who is over all money and everything else, and line my life up with what he has desired and designed, then money's going to come to me. I'm going to make money run after me instead of me run after money.
Yes, sir.
And there are biblical principles that teach you how to do this. And so we miss God many times in this money arena. And listen at this. Everybody that's rich don't have a passion for money.
Amen.
There are poor people who have a love for money. And because they violate biblical principles, they do not get money. But they still are servants to money. And so many times we miss and we misunderstand the clarification of understanding that it is the love for money that messes up many good people, and many things that will be done because they don't understand this particular principle. Somebody say love.
Love,
love is where that passion, love is where the affections are. And so when you attach that to money, all that goes with love follows money. And so you don't ever want to be able to. Is it all right to like money?
Yes,
it's all right to like money. Yeah, you're going to act, oh, holy, now like. Well, I don't know what I should say. Say, yeah. I mean, you know, whether you like it or not, it has a purpose. It has a place. And I mean, it's just so important to understand that in its right place, it does what it's supposed to do. In the kingdom of God, in the right place, it does what it's supposed to do. And in the world, it does what it's supposed to do. And so here, because we are living as Christians in a sinful world, the money is the medium by which we transfer one thing for another thing. Goods for services, you know, money for goods, et cetera, et cetera. We need money. You won't think money don't have a place? Try to live holy without money. Now, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it's going to be a little more difficult. You're going to go through a lot more. Listen, Jesus didn't have a lot of money, but every time he needed to do things in the earth realm, he manifested money. When they needed to pay taxes, he sent them fishing. Tell them, listen, look in that fish's gill. You can pull out some money. Go pay our taxes. You know, I mean, you walk on through it everywhere. Jesus dealt with the issues of money. I mean, when they looked on the coin and saw the picture of Caesar and so forth, wanted to know, was it right to even give the taxes to Caesar? Jesus looked at the money. He said, whose picture's on it? He said, written unto Caesar, the things that are Caesar, the things that are God, under God. So he's dealt with that because Christians have had some confusion about the issue of money. And so when you begin to recognize, listen, in its right place, it does the right thing, and you can still be righteous. I believe, according to the word of God, that God wants his people to be righteous and wealthy. To be lenders and not borrowers. To be on top, not on the bottom. To be able to be the blessors. And so when we begin to understand the principles of God's word, listen, to help bring the gospel across this world and into the hearts and lives of men and women and girls and boys, it's going to take some money. To be able to get good people who can take the word, teach the word, preach the word, minister the word full time, it's going to take some money. I mean, however you look at it, you're going to see money has a role to play in every facet of life. What makes it wrong is the inordinate affection that we place on money, the love.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The love of money. Amen. Now, listen, look at this. Not only have we talked about the clarification of money, but let's look at the corruption that comes from money. The word says, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are two corrupting problems that are listed that I want us to see here. First is the unholy creed. Because when you start falling in love with money, you fall out of love with God and the things of God. So it's an unholy creed, for it says, they erred from the faith. See, anything that pulls you from the faith means that you have lessened your focus on God. And anything that causes you to lessen your focus on God, God views it as evil. Evil. Listen, money isn't evil, but the love of it is. You get it, then you get the things that you want. Then when you get the things that you want, you stop honoring, worshiping, praising, coming to the house of God, doing the things God wants you to do, because you're enjoying your money and the things that it has provided for you. And so that's why, you know, and I believe this firmly in my spirit, that a whole lot of folk God don't allow to have too much money right now, because he know it'll mess you up. It'll mess you up, because he knows if you get you a car that runs right. He know you ain't going to be at church on Sunday. You're going to be at the beach. You're going to be here. You're going to be going there. You're going to be taking a little ride. You're going to be going eat at the buffet at the casino. You ain't going to gamble, but you're going to eat at the buffet there. You know, he knows all that kind of stuff. He knows if he blesses you too much, you're going to want to stay and enjoy your toys and the stuff that you got and all the rest of that, and not come and worship and praise him. He knows you'll err from the faith because you finally got a chance to get what you've always wanted.
Amen.
That's good, Pastor.
He knows that if he gives you too much until you understand principles of godliness concerning money and what it's really used for, that you're going to operate differently. And so I firmly believe that he won't allow some of it to come because he knows you'll err from the faith.
That's right. That's right.
Because he sees how you're operating with the little bit you got.
That's right. That's good.
He knows how you're fighting just to pay him what you would consider tithes on the little money you got. What if you had a whole lot of it? You know, and we don't know how to deal with that. So the unholy creed is that they erred from the faith. And materialism and all of these other things causes us to err from the faith when we have our focus on what our inordinate affection is placed upon. And many times again, that is the love of money. And so we just admire that stuff. Man, we just glow and gleam when we see about this is what I got. This mine. I got my mind on my money. And my money on my mind. Where the Lord at? In all of that, where the Lord at? You know, we got to wear the signs of money. Don't wear the signs of the cross no more. None of that. God, that's been replaced with big money symbol. Big money grip. Big dollar. All of that kind of stuff. All of that showing our inordinate affair with money. Our affection for money. And so when it gets to that point where you just fall in love with money, you start falling out of love with God. And the things of God. And the things that you can do to benefit the kingdom of God. Listen, if God could get his hands of money into your hands and know that you're going to bless his kingdom, do you know he'll get more money in your hands? But he know blessing his kingdom is way down on your priority list. You get your hands on some money, and you're going to get your list out of all the things you said you're going to upgrade your diamond, get some new carpet on the floor, going to get this, going to get that, you're going to do all that. But listen, blessing the kingdom of God is going to be way down on most of our list because we're not even doing it now. Listen, all money does is reveal how you really feel. And so, because you ain't got it, and to keep from feeling bad, you subdue how you feel about it. You hold that down. But boy, just think, if you knew you were going to be getting some money, you let all that stuff start coming back to the consciousness of your mind and thinking about what you want to do with that and how you're going to do it and all the rest of that, because, again, we lack opportunity to do it without money. Without money. I've shared with this before. It's right there in Scripture. When the prodigal son went off and did all he did, what he did with his money, he had a wonderful time with it, and none of it was holy. He came back home, hadn't even talked with his brother. His brother heard that they were having a party for the younger brother who had come back home, who was dead and now alive and all of this good stuff. He got mad and got mad with the dad. Dad had to come out and talk to him. He said, son, what's wrong? This is your brother. He said, yeah, wait a minute. I've been here all the time. I've been faithful. I've been right here helping you and doing everything. Father told him, listen, you've been here, you've shared in all of this. You've never had a need for any of these things. He said, your brother here has been restored and we're doing this. He said, but here you spend all of this money on him. Plus, now that he's come back from spending his money on prostitutes and wild living and all the rest of these things. And here comes the question. How did he know what his brother spent his money on when he didn't talk to his brother or to anybody who knew what his brother had done? Because he knew that's what he would have done. And he got mad because he didn't spend his money on that. And see, a whole lot of us talk that talk, but we talk it because we ain't got no money. We hating on folk because we ain't got no money. Look, that don't make no sense to have that. No, the only reason why it don't make no sense because you can't get it. That just don't make no sense. Okay, well, it's all relevant. It doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense if you don't have it. But when you got enough to have it in the span, it don't matter, then yeah, it makes sense to you. The mindset of those who have varies from those who have not. The rich can't understand how the poor do what they do, and the poor can't understand how the rich do what they do. Mindsets are worlds apart. And so usually they err, they go away from the things of God. Listen again to what this thing says. It says, not only is there an unholy creed, but there's an unhappy condition. An unhappy condition. Why is that in the corruption? Well, it's because the Bible says many sorrows. Many sorrows. Where do the sorrows come from? It has pierced their soul from the love of money. It says, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. They have pierced themselves. Now, that's interesting because money didn't do that to them. Money didn't mess them up. They were messed up before they got money. They just couldn't show how messed up they were until they had the money to show it. You know, without no money, they got one gold tooth. With some money, they got a platinum grill. Platinum grill. Ah. I mean, you know, I mean, whatever. You look and you see all the way from head to toe, whatever the case is, they messed themselves up.
That's right.
Not money.
That's right.
Money didn't jump up in their mouth and do that. They did that. Pierced themselves. Listen, through, listen at this. It's not even just surface. It's underneath the skin. So in other words, when it says pierce themselves through, it literally means this. That money brought out what was real underneath the skin. It literally means to the soul. Now, you know, you might have, without money, you might have a few sorrows. But when you got a love for money and you have money, then you'll have many sorrows because you can get into much stuff.
That's right.
Money gives you access. And gives you the ability to have privilege to do things that you wouldn't be able to do without money. Money gets you recognized. Money draws folk to you. Might be for all the wrong reasons, but this is what money has the effect to do, because these are people who love money, and if you got money, they love you because you've got money. They don't love you, but they love you because you've got money. And if you think they love you, let the money go.
Yeah.
And you'll find them departing also. Exiting your life also, because the money is not there. And so the Bible says this again. It says that they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. The sorrows run so deep that it affects their soul. In other words, it has eternal repercussions on them. Anything that you love more than God is a damnation to your soul. Jesus said you can't love God and mammon. That's money or material things. You can't love money and God.
Amen.
If you say you love God, then you need to be clear that God is your source. And some people think that because of the accumulation of money, money now takes the place of God and becomes their source and can provide all of the things that God can provide. No, money can provide some things, but money can nowhere near compare to what God can provide.
Amen. Amen.
That was a weak applause. Just only a few folk knew that, obviously. Money cannot provide anywhere near close to the comfort that God can provide. You can have money and still not be comforted. You can have money and still not have an appetite. You can have money and still not have peace. You can have money and still not have joy. You can have money and still not have health. You can have money and still not be blessed. You can have money and still miss God by many miles. Just because you got money don't mean you're blessed. Because the question becomes, how did you get the money? How did you get it? Did you get it through righteous means or unrighteous means? You know, people selling drugs and alcohols and all of these different things that harm the body and so forth and that mess up people's lives and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, they may be rich, but do you think that's holy? Do you think God smiles on it? Do you think God gets any glory out of that? No. But when you do the right thing, look at what the Bible says. God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. See, that's the kind of richness we ought to desire to be. Rich because God made us rich. And that richness, like with the other case, begins underneath the skin. It begins with a relationship with God. It begins with understanding I want God and what God wants first in my life. And the money comes because of the principles I'm practicing.